Go ahead and play Chaopoly. Folks, we have this Chaopoly that we have been holding on to since Monday. I'm going to go ahead and put that out there. You got to give me the name of the band and the song in the correct order. And guess what you can win today? Today, for the person who calls and wins at Chaopoly, you will get a copy of the Today with Dr. K canvas bags. Now, you remember we were going through the whole thing, raising money for the station and for my show. I said to all the members of my Itty Bitty Fan Club, if their parents join at the Itty Bitty Fan Club level, they will get a Today with Dr. K canvas bags to put all their books in it when they go to the library. Well, the bags are in. We have our next meeting of the Itty Bitty Fan Club on July 27th, the last Saturday in the month, and all of the members who come with their cards will get a free copy of the bag. But I'm going to give out a copy of the bag today. You call with the Chaopoly answer. You get the first Today with Dr. K giveaway, which is the bags. I am so excited. I'm taking me one home today. Let's go and play Chaopoly, and then we'll go back to Kim Trueheart.
Can love you back in a special way. You light my mind. I feel alive with you, baby. You blow my mind. Set it off, I suggest you go. Set it off, I suggest you go. Set it off,
set it off, set it off,
set it off.
Set it off on the left, y'all. Set it off on the right, y'all. Set it off. Come on, let's set it off. Now I want this party started quickly. Right?
Set it off, set it off, set it off. Set it off.
Set it off, I suggest, y'all. Set it off, I suggest, y'all.
Set it off, set it off.
Come on,
set it off. Set it off.
The groove slightly transformed, just a bit of a break from the norm, just a little something to break the monotony of all that hardcore dance that has gotten to be a little bit out of control. It's cool to dance, but what about a groove that soothes and moves romance? Give me a soft, subtle mix, and if it ain't broke, then don't try to fix it. And think of the summers of the past, adjust the bass and let the alpine blast. Pop in my CD and let me run a rhyme and put your car on cruise and lay back.
All right, folks, now that's the Chaopoly for today. Today, we're not putting a book on the table. Today, we are putting, it is an amazing bag. It's a canvas bag with our new Today with Dr. K logo, the WEAA logo. Folks, I'm telling you, you want to know what's going to set you apart from everybody else in this town? Having one of these bags. And all the members of my Itty Bitty Fan Club, they're definitely getting one. Because I know my Itty Bitty Fan Club, they're going to the library, they're going to the bookstore, they'll have their little water bottles and swimsuits in them and whatever else they want to put in them. But I want to give some to some adults as well. You're going shopping? Hey, get your Today with Dr. K bag and pull it. Put some groceries in it. You're going to the library for yourself? Get your bag and put some stuff in it. Hey, how about if you are a new mommy and you're dealing with trying to have, you know, your formula or your breast milk and your cookies and crack, whatever else you're putting, you can stuff it right into the Today with Dr. K canvas bag with our new logo. So the first person that calls to win Chaopoly will get the first copy coming out of the box. Now, I'll say the third. I'm getting the first copy. Justina's going to get the second copy, but you'll get the third one coming out of the box. 410-319-8888. I was talking to Kim Trueheart. Kim, I just wanted to wrap up with you when you were talking about trying to put something on the table. $20,000 to train 6 young people and a supervisor. So is that way they can get that $298,000 contract? Is that what you're trying to do with them?
Well, what I learned this morning is that contract was for properties other than vacant lots. And there is another contract with another contractor to do the vacant properties, which is more than $289,000.
Ah, okay.
So, you know, we have an opportunity here for these young people to possibly provide the same service that we now contract out, right, and get training, get a skill that they can do this work legitimately as their own enterprise.
Ah, okay. I like that. So when you put that on the table, are they going to get back to you, or are you just trying to get some people to support it?
The response was, great idea. Let's have another meeting to talk about it.
All right. Thank you. Well, you know, we're going to follow this. Keep us in the loop. Thank you so much, Kim. We have Donnell on the phone. Donnell's a new caller from Towson. Donnell, how are you? And welcome to the family.
Hey, Dr. K, how you doing?
I'm doing fine.
I want to thank you for taking my call. I rarely ever call. I just like listening to your show. But I just wanted to, what made me call was, I wanted to give my condolences to you.
Thank you.
About your family member. I heard that he was in the military.
Yes, my father-in-law was a retired Marine. Yes, he was in the Marines.
I'm Army, so, but I understand that because I've been to Iraq and I've been to Afghanistan, and lucky I made it home.
Amen.
But I know what that's like because I've seen a lot of people on their way there and they died and. It's kind of hard to, you know, tell your family and friends, you know, that person died or their family and friends, you know.
Right.
So, but I just wanted to extend
my condolences.
I'm so glad
you did. Thank you so much.
I just wanted to say something of the guest that you had on. I think that's a wonderful idea that you ought to get young people into the military. It did a lot of work. I spent almost 18 years in the military.
Wow.
And that, like she said, it's not for everybody.
Right.
It really isn't. What our young people lack is discipline, and they're brought up by the wrong peers. So, you know, they tend to stick with that. They tend to, I'm not going to the Army. It's the white man's army. It's not the white man's army. It's our army. You know,
yes, it is.
We're the ones, you know, whether you're black, white, Asian, Filipino, Chinese. It's for everybody because everybody's so diverse in this country. It just takes a real patriotic person to make that pledge and to put on that uniform and say that I am willing to do whatever it takes to protect this country and those that are in this country for their safety and their standards. You know,
thank you so much, Darnell. That's so good.
I just wanted to say that.
I'm so glad you did. And I want to say, of course, before you go, I want to say thank you for your service. My dad is a veteran of the Army like you are. And so when I spoke to him yesterday, I got choked up. I'm telling you, I left out of the funeral, Donnell, for my father-in-law. And I actually had to go call my own father. I just wanted to hear his voice. Right. And when he was talking about how, you know, he's going to be buried at Fort Jackson. And just what you're going through today is going to be me.
That's home. Fort Jackson is home for me.
That's home for my parents, too. So he's happy because he's from South Carolina. So I wanted to come back home. I'm like, oh, Dad.
I my condolences
and
everybody else I hope not too many people go through that. But really, my condolences to you.
Thank you
really.
So much, Donnell. I appreciate you. Yep.
Thank
we have Alan on the phone from Baltimore. Alan, how are you?
I'm just fine, Dr. K.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
There's about half a dozen things I want to talk about. First of all, condolences on the loss of your father-in-law.
Thank you.
He sounded magnificent.
Yeah, he was.
I was in the military. I think it's a good thing.
Thank you for your service.
They say it's not for everybody. But when they got rid of the draft, lots of people don't have any, as the president said, skin in the game.
Yeah.
It's a whole military, and each men and women go there and fight time and time and time again. You get draftees, however you want to do that. I'm a little shaky on them. You get new ideas. You get good people in there. There's also, as the other lady mentioned, VISTA. There's wonderful things. I think 2 years of service in America is wonderful. Military, okay. Civilian, okay.
Right.
Next thing. As far as equal pay for women, any excuse of not doing that is preposterous. It's the most disgusting lie I've heard in quite some time.
Yes.
There's no reason for it. There's two reasons for it. First of all, they want to save money. And secondly, you think these guys don't know women. They do know women.
Yes.
And they know women will do the right thing. Because they're not invested in an oppressive system that has gone on from day one.
Yes.
And if men are so good at it, are we in such a great position now?
Oh, man, I like you saying that.
It's like, do you think a woman could do a better job? She couldn't do a worse job, and I bet my last buck she'd do a damn credible, a darn credible job.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you, Annie. I appreciate you. Just to let you know, folks, the U.S. military draft ended January 27th, 1973. As the Vietnam War was coming to a close, they stated that there would not longer be any more draft calls. So it ended back in 1973. I don't know, folks. Well, there are a lot of countries that require all young people, when they turn 18, to serve 2 years in the military. Maybe that's not such a bad thing. I'm just wondering. College isn't for everybody. The military isn't for everybody. We seem to have a lot of spaces where our young people aren't fitting in. We have a lot of people who don't have jobs. Like, what? We got to do something. We've got to do something. So I'm just throwing out some ideas here. Now, we have Michelle on the phone. Michelle's a new caller from Savage, Maryland. First of all, Michelle, how are you? Welcome to the family.
I'm good. Hi, good afternoon, and sorry for your loss.
Thank you so much. Now, they tell me that you're calling to play Chaopoly.
Yes, I am.
Now, I will tell you that the Whitehead listeners get upset when a newcomer comes and takes the game, but I'm willing to let you shoot your shot here, Michelle. I'm ready for you. All right, so the judges tell me I talk too much during the game, so I'm just going to listen, go through them 1, 2, 3, and they'll tell me thumbs up or thumbs down. Are you ready?
Sure.
All right, go ahead.
The Gap Band, Outstanding. Strafe, S-T-R-A-F-E, the song is Set It Off. And Summertime by Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince.
Let's see, I'm looking at the judges. Oh, I'm so sorry, Michelle. They're saying that there's something that is not completely correct. But here's what they're going to do, Michelle. They're going to take your information, and if nobody gets it, then you will be the winner. So hold tight, Michelle. Let's see if we have somebody else coming up. Alicia is a new caller from Baltimore. Welcome to the family. She might come in and steal this whole thing. How you doing, Alicia?
Hello, Dr. K. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I'm glad you called. I'm telling you, Michelle is holding tight because if you don't get this thing, she's going to get it by default. So are you ready?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, go ahead. Let's do it.
Okay, the first song was Outstanding by the Gap Band. The second song was Drake, Set It Off. And the third song was Will Smith, Summertime.
They're telling me no. Oh, Alicia, I'm sorry. All right, the judges are telling me that there's a little bit of discrepancy. I'm trying to see what's going on with the judges here. All right, hold on 1 second, Alicia. All right, folks, we've never had this before where there seems to be some discrepancy with our judges. Now, I'm not saying we need new judges. I'm saying the judges have a little bit discrepancy about one of these songs and how it should be. I'm going to the next person who's playing it. Shayna, Chaopoly participant, how are you?
Hello, it's me.
Yes, how are you?
I'm great.
So now, there's some discrepancy. We got to have it exactly right for these names here. So I'm going to let you go ahead and take your shot here.
Okay, the Gap Band, Outstanding. Strafe, Set It Off.
Mm-hmm.
DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, Summertime.
There you go. That's what we were looking for. That's the one. It has to be DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. Come on now. I'm saying when you're giving away the only one copy that we're giving away of the Today with Dr. K bag, am I right or wrong, Sean? You got to come correct, right?
Right.
You got to come correct. So what we're going to have you do is hold on. Because now here's something for you. When you get your Today with Dr. K bag, I'm going to stick something special inside the bag for you. So there'll be a little message in there and an extra gift inside the bag because you are now the only person outside of myself and my producer who has a copy of the Today with Dr. K bag.
Awesome. I love your show.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad you're going to have the bag. Hold on 1 second. We have Angel on the phone from Owens Mills. Angel, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm so glad you called.
Thank you. First, I want to say sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
I had a question about Black people in the military. I know that in my family and in my circle of friends, there's like a lot of negative stigmas with Black people in the military. And I know that in my Black history class, we have talked about how the history of Black people in the military, how they were paid less, how they were... Yep. And just, like, the bad negative history of Black people mm-hmm. in the military. And I want to know, like, how has that improved since that today? I know that they don't get paid differently, but I just want to know, like, is there still any negative stigmas that people should be aware of, or, like, is it completely fine now and anyone, like, no one should be worried to join the military?
I think those are some great questions. Angel, thank you so much for putting those on the table. Folks, let's explore this a little bit. Because we know that, first of all, that the Black folks have fought in every single war in this country. And there was a time when Black soldiers and white soldiers were segregated. And they were paid less money. We know this, Angel, particularly during the Civil War. It came out because, you know, Frederick Douglass spoke about the few amount of dollars that, you know, colored soldiers, which is a term they were using, made them white soldiers. We also know that there are many soldiers who came home from war prior to 1948, during the time when it was segregated, who would be lynched wearing their military uniforms because they would make the argument, I've been fighting for freedom for this country, outside this country, and I can't even come home and enjoy the freedoms that I've been fighting for. But it was under President Harry Truman in July of 1948 that he signed Executive Order 9981, which led the way to have the United States service, the military service, finally become integrated. Now, in terms of the current treatment, I can't speak about that. I do know that when I've heard my father speak about it, and he's a Vietnam War era veteran as well, he talked about the ways in which when they went through boot camp, that a lot of racism that was evident among the soldiers and the recruits during boot camp, by the time they came out of that, that was no longer there. Having gone through those trials and tribulations together and realizing that that person standing to your side, whether it was a Black person or a white person or an Asian person or a Hispanic person, might be the difference between whether you live or die. He said it changed the way they saw everything. Now, as for how it is today, I invite any folks who are serving in the military to give us a call. I do think that it is a very difficult decision for people to make. And I'm only putting on the table, I think about what are the options that we have for people? Is there a place where we can talk about our love for this country? We can learn a skill. We can get a certain amount of discipline that might be available in the military. I did not join the military. So I'm not speaking from a personal experience. I only know it through listening to my aunts and uncles and my father talk about their previous service, which was not all perfect, right, Angel?
Right.
But they talk about the long-term benefits of that and what they have achieved, whether it was the GI Bill, whether it was my dad using it so he can pay for himself to go to college, using that GI loan so he can buy his first house. Like, he's talked often about that, and he does have a desire to be buried at Fort Jackson. In full military regalia. So okay. I think it's worth exploring. Thank you so much, Angel. I appreciate you. Last year, folks, for SALA, and Ms. Peaches talked about Carter G. Woodson this morning on Mornings with Mikkel, but Carter G. Woodson founded ASALA, the Association for the Study of African American Life and History. Last year, our theme was talking about the military, you know, Blacks in the armed services, armed forces. And we have been in every single war in this country. People would not enjoy their freedoms if it wasn't for the sacrifice of Black folks. We were there and we were involved. We have Leo Burrows on the phone. Leo, how are you?
Dr. K.Y.'s Whitehead, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Haven't spoken to you in a while. Welcome
back. You're outstanding always. I was listening earlier to Kim Trueheart.
Yes.
And I must say, I endorse her proposal 200%.
Yes.
It's an excellent idea. But what's so frustrating is that other intelligent Black folk in Baltimore have great ideas. They advance those ideas to the mayor and city council, and 9 times out of 10, they're not acted upon.
Right.
Why?
Oh, it's so frustrating.
Who are they pandering to? What community, what ethnic groups are they pandering to? When I went to Morgan, I graduated from Frederick Douglass High School in 1960 and attended Morgan College then. It was required. Military science was required for a period of time. I think it was 2 years. You had to take military science. Are you still there?
I'm still here. No, okay, I'm listening to you, sir. I'm listening to you.
Military science and computer science, all of that is interwoven in a positive way into the defense and protection of this country against its enemies, both foreign and domestic.
Yes, yes. Thank you for adding domestic, Leo. Please.
Yeah, we got plenty of domestic enemies.
Yes,
now,
we do.
I'm looking at the Youth Works program. The mayor is still resisting taking the initiative to make Youth Works a year-round program.
I don't understand that.
Why are they resisting doing the right thing?
But then they get upset, Leo, when young people have to find other means to make money to support their family.
I want to invite you to our meeting on Monday night, if you can make it. Your assistant has been there at St. Cecilia Church at 3301 Windsor Avenue at Hilton Street at 7 o'clock on the Monday, the 15th of July, from 7 to 9. If you can, I know you're overworked, but if you can come out, Roots of Scouting Incorporated, of which I'm president, we're showcasing our STEM program and other activities, rites of passage that we're involved into the community, and we're open to constructive criticism. We need more volunteers and participants.
You know what, Leo? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have you hold on. Justina, why don't we get the information? Why don't we're going to try to make this one, Leo. I mean, it's summertime. We'd like to get and see what, because you're always on here talking about Roots of Scouting. You're always on here, you know, chiming in. We need to come and see what's going on.
Please. So, everybody's welcome. It's open to the public. The Harlem Park, are you aware of the Marcus Garvey Day on August the 17th?
Absolutely. We'll be talking about it on the show.
Oh.
Absolutely. All right, folks, we got to hold it here for 1 second. Let me throw out a quote to you. Serena Williams, have you seen Bizarre? Have you seen that, you know, the dress is laying in such a way you can see her whole left cheek? But she said, I've been called every name in the book. I've been shamed because of my body shape. I've been paid unequally because of my sex. She is posing unretouched for Harper's Bazaar, and Girlfriend is going there. It's the Weekly Wrap. Give me a call, 410-319-8888. And online, Jill P. Carter is participating in our weekly roundup in Kaopoly. Jill P. Carter, you know, I'm going to make sure you get a bag. DM me your address, Jill P. Carter. I would love to have you carry a Today with Dr. K bag. Hold it here. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back to Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. Folks, it's the Weekly Wrap, which means you can put anything you want on the table. We've talked about just about everything today, but nobody has said anything about the mayor. Where are you on the fact that Mayor Jack Young is kind of throwing out some feelers to see maybe he should run again for mayor? So I told you so. I said he was going to do it. He seems to be doing it. You can't have that kind of power and not want to continue with it, but let's talk about it. 410-319-8888. We have Glord on the phone from Gwinnett. Glord, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. You have my condolences to on your father-in-law.
Thank you.
And I was in the service too. I was in a medical unit over by Morgan for a good little while. But it was an experience.
Thank you.
To let you know, when I was growing up and a lot of guys was, you know, in the neighborhood, and when they started the draft, a lot of guys went and never came back. But a lot of guys did not want to go in the service, based on what you had said earlier, because they say, well, I ain't going over and fight people that, you know, they did nothing to me, so why should I go over there? So that's why they started the draft. So they were drafting them, and again, they didn't come back. But, and the other thing is about the boot camp. I always said about a boot camp can be set up, but they don't have to go into service. Because you got a lot of single parents, even during my time and probably now, they need discipline for their young boys. So the schools is not doing what they're supposed to do to teach shop and to discipline the boys in the schools. So, you know, it's really chaos. So if these kids can go to a boot camp and learn some discipline, because it's always been a thing is, parents always say, boy, take out the trash, make up your bed, you know, little simple stuff.
Right.
You know? And everything. But a boot camp, you know, it can work for single parents. And they don't have to go into service to do that.
It's just kind of to give them what, the discipline?
Exactly.
Talk about, you know, building skills.
Yep.
Okay. But I mean, and don't we have things like that, though, Gloria? Isn't that what AmeriCorps does?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Isn't that what AmeriCorps does? AmeriCorps, you don't go in the service, but you are being paid for service. It's a voluntary civil service program.
Okay, but it teaches them discipline, how to be almost equivalent to being in the service, going to boot camp.
It's something similar to that, because in AmeriCorps, it's almost, you know what, I'll tell you, AmeriCorps is more similar to like a domestic peace corps. So okay, you're assigned to work in areas like engineering or education or housing, but it's funded by the federal government and you get paid for your work, but it's in service to the community or area where you're located. It doesn't have a boot camp kind of thing, but maybe that's a middle ground, something like that.
Right, right. That sounds great, and we need a lot of that.
Yeah.
But going back to the school system, man, because I could see the problems years ago when the schools failed to do what they were supposed to do, and this is what we get in now.
Yeah. We're seeing that. Yeah,
you've got a lot of small groups that are doing positive things. But it's on a small scale, but it's going to take a while. But
I think we can get there, though, right, Lord?
Of course.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. We have Mr. P on the phone from Pikesville. Mr. P, how are you?
Great. How are you? My condolences to you and your family.
Thank you very much.
I want to comment on Serena Williams.
Ooh, she went hard with Bizarre now.
Now, if she would have did what Demi Moore did,
Ooh, yeah.
He would have blew it out of the water.
Oh, yeah. Demi Moore was completely nude, pregnant, and didn't they paint over her breast and stomach or something?
No, she covered her breast with her arms.
Ah, with her arms. Ooh, okay.
Yeah. Pull it up on YouTube or something.
I am.
But she would have blew it out of the water.
I'm just assuming with you saying that, then you are in support of the Bizarre, where you can see her cheek and that idea of the nude magazine cover. She's not completely nude.
I mean, I hate to put it, but the other people do it.
Okay.
So why not us?
Okay.
I mean, I don't know how they're going to take it, but I think they're very intimidated that we can do it too. So can, you know, you did it, so why can't we?
And then, the Demi Moore, I see it now. I remember this. She was on the cover of Vanity Fair, and she has one hand across her breast, and then she has the other hand holding her her stomach because she was 7 months pregnant.
Right. I mean.
Now I want to throw this out. I don't know if you know this, but back in 2012, Serena Williams did pose naked on the cover. She posed naked on the cover of ESPN's The Magazine's Body issue. And this is in 2009. She sat naked on the floor. She showcased her biceps and her legs. She was 28 at the time, and she had one hand across her breast. Yeah.
What is she covered? She was covered like with a scarf or something?
No, I'm looking at it right now. ESPN, The Body issue, she has nothing on. She's sitting on the ground. You got to pull it up and take a look at it. So she's already posed naked.
Oh, okay.
Okay. When she was 28 years old. So now, this is not the first time that she's gone there.
I remember me and you were having a debate on who's the first rapper billionaire, and I said Dr. Dre.
Yes.
Because he sold Beats for a couple $1 billion. No, that was Faraji. I apologize.
Oh, yeah. I was sitting there going like, I started laughing going, that's way, I don't even know.
Yeah, that was
I'm dealing with new body covers right now.
Right.
All right. Thank you so much, sir. I appreciate you. So, folks, Serena has done it again. Now, this is a little bit different. I don't know. It's very interesting that this has struck me a little bit differently. Maybe it's not a big deal. Maybe I'm just showing my conservative side. I thought it was a bit risque, but apparently, quick check on YouTube, quick check on Google, she's already done this. She's already posed naked before. This time she actually has a dress on. You can just see it from the back. You can actually see more of her in this photograph, but you can see her left cheek here versus when she's on the cover of ESPN, she's kind of in a position where you don't see her body parts in a sense. All right, folks, we have Joel on the phone. Joel's a new caller from Baltimore. Joel, how are you? Welcome to the family.
I'm good, Doc. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good, good. I would like to speak on the veterans.
Yes, sir.
I was in the military from 1958 to 1962.
Wow, thank you for your service.
Yeah. And I originally got a dishonorable discharge.
Really?
For a racial incident.
So
And after about a year, the Army contacted me, and they had set up a hearing at the Pentagon to rehear my case.
Really?
So they gave me an attorney and all, and we went to the Pentagon, and there were five officers on the board to make the decision, from a one-star general down to a colonel.
Wow, so what ended up happening?
And four of the officers were white, and one was black. When they heard the case and came back with the decision, they ruled against me. Guess who voted against me?
Who?
The black colonel.
Wow.
He said that there was not prejudice in the military during that time. And they let it stand as dishonorable. And after about a year later, they contacted me. They had upgraded it to a general, which is under honorable conditions, but something short of honorable. And that's when I found out that the black officer was the one that had voted against
me.
Wow.
So what has happened since then?
Ma'am?
So what has happened since then? Have you been able to appeal, or is there nothing you can do?
I've got a full benefit.
Okay.
Right. It all turned out fine.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that.
But I never got over him being only black on there, and he voted that there was not prejudice in the military at that time, which we all know that there was.
Right.
Blatant.
So where do you stand on young people? I mean, just the idea that every young person, when they turn 18 years old, have to serve at least 2 years. What do you think about that?
I don't know if that would work. Okay. In the first place, black soldiers are hard to deal with because of what's going on around them.
Okay. So now, when you were dishonorably discharged, what was your final status? Were you a lieutenant, a sergeant, so you had soldiers underneath you? So that way, when you're talking about black soldiers being hard to deal with, you're speaking from the experience that you had. Remember, it's back in the 1950s, though, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I mean, you're talking about back in the 1950s, Brown v. Board didn't go through till 1954. And even though by that time, Harry Truman had signed, you know, Executive Order 9981, you're talking 1948 to 1954, you still had the feelings of segregation still deep in people's heart.
Right. You still had prejudice.
Right.
During that time.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you're talking about the law, even though it ended in the military, it hadn't ended in society.
It wasn't a pleasant place to be.
Okay. I can, believe me, I can understand. When you're talking 1948 to 1952, thank you so much for calling, sir. I can imagine. I would even go so far as say, you know, America wasn't a very pleasant place to be. My dad grew up in Jim Crow, South Carolina. That wasn't a pleasant place to be. If you were involved in the Civil Rights Movement, 1960, 1965, 1968, Baltimore wasn't a pleasant place to be. But you know what, folks? I'm going to step out a little bit farther. 2015, Baltimore wasn't a pleasant place to be. 2019 Baltimore, and right now, it ain't too pleasant. Have you seen the homicide numbers? Have you seen the push to change this city? Have you seen the water main breaks that have been happening? Not just Poe Homes, the one that just happened this weekend. I couldn't even drive down in front of the harbor coming back in the city last night. So I'm just trying to figure out, when we start talking about how America has changed, we've had a lot of changes. We still have a long way to go. But the wonderful thing about this country and what I saw yesterday, folks, we are not where we want to be, but we ain't where we used to be either. Like, that to me is a good thing. We are not where we used to be. We have Paul on the phone from West Baltimore. Paul, how are you?
I'm fine, Dr. K. Just going to talk a little bit about this upcoming election.
Ooh.
And I've heard about Jack Young putting his name in the place.
He said he's back.
You know, but see, here's what I haven't heard. I've heard from Jack Young about the LGB. I heard about Jack Young with the immigration. What is his black agenda? What is his plan for us black people? I have not yet heard him say anything about that. You know, and I'm not looking at him taking as something as small as squeegee boys, getting them employed.
Right.
We got a guy, I forgot the guy's name, he's going around asking business owners to hire these squeegee boys. You know, I've been a Democrat all my life, and I'm programmed just like a lot of black African-American people in Baltimore. When you go in that box, hit that lever, Democrat, Jack Young, all these guys, whatever. But, you know, a couple times I've heard people call up talking about Democrats. and talking about Republic. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to be a Republic, but I'm just looking at what's going on. Under the Democratic watch is where I'm at right now. We have to clean. If we do not clean house, starting with the city council,
right.
I don't want to hear about what with the young brother name. Actually, I can't remember
Brandon
his name.
Scott.
But yeah, what he's doing. I don't want to hear about Jack Young. You got to understand Baltimore. These are the same people since right after Sheila Dixon or whatever. These are the same people. And look at Baltimore. Sheila Dixon is gone. It's still terrible. Blake, whatever her name is, she's gone. It's still terrible. So it's something still wrong with this city that we need to fix. We better be careful with this. We do not need a Jack Young, Brandon Scott. I'm telling you, people, we better clean house because they have nothing on the agenda when it comes from people of color. And we have been loyal to these people.
Right, right.
We have been so loyal to them, and we get I'm in West Baltimore right now, Dr. Gay, and I'm riding through areas. I'm just looking at what's going on. Did you know the city owns 28,000 of these homes in Baltimore that's vacant? The city owns right. them. So each and every one of you, when you go down your street, if you live in these areas and you see these abandoned houses, the city owns a lot of them.
All right, I got to stop you there, Paul. I'm with you. I know. Believe me, Paul, I know. When I put the mayor out there, I said, Paul hasn't called yet. I figured you would. So I'm glad you did. We have Cecilia on the phone. Cecilia's a new caller from Baltimore. Cecilia, how are you? And welcome to the family. We're working on Cecilia, so we'll go to Diane from Southwest Baltimore. Diane, how are you?
How you doing, Dr. K? I'm sorry.
I'm doing well. No problem. Welcome back. I haven't talked to you in a while.
I almost choked. I'm sorry.
No problem. Glad you're okay.
Oh, God.
Glad you're okay.
I had to call in because you know I had to call in about Jack. Me and you both said the same thing. We said he was going to run. He said he was, you know, but because that paycheck looked good to him.
Come on.
And I think,
and the power.
And not only that, I think that Greater Baltimore Committee is pushing him to run. Because, you know, he done had a couple of meetings with the governor. And who else has he met with? Has he met with both of the U.S. Senate?
That's a good question.
They're closed doors meetings that we don't know about, where they have those little crab cakes at Nick's and stuff like that, you know. So I wasn't surprised that he was, you know, that he decided to run. Because first I said, oh, no, he's not going to run. He said he's not. But then my mind said, yes, he is, because when he got in there, you know. But the thing about it, we all talking about the city, but what can we do as citizens? We should go to them with a plan, because since they haven't come to us with
a plan. Right, and they're not going to come to us,
Diane. The thing about it is the crime is not going to go down until we do something about it. I don't know if you heard of Jewish for Social Justice?
Yes.
I was invited to their thing last night, and they talked about white supremacists and, you know, how it affects all of us, not just African American, but all, even including them, and how they even talked about how they can go, you know, both ways, you know, white as well as Jew, and how some of them are embedded with white supremacy.
For Jews, women, Jews for justice are embedded with the white supremacists?
No, some of the ideas.
Oh, some of their ideas.
Yeah,
okay.
Because of the white privilege.
Okay, because I was sitting there going, like, wait a minute now.
No.
Okay.
No. So, we have to. We're broke out in groups, and then like you stood around. They have different things. They had one with about immigrations and stuff like that, and your origin. And I said, well, I don't know where my origin is from, but I know my people are from Africa, and we're from West Africa. I said, so I can't say that I'm an immigrant, because I said my family came over here as slaves.
Right.
So we talked about how we felt and stuff, and how the racial thing is how black people are against Jewish people, and but they did say that they are very powerful people in Baltimore City.
I want you to do, can you hold on, because I'm Justina, can you get this information, because I'd like to find out more about this offline, Diane. I want to talk to you about this, so hold on one second, let me get more information. We have Rob on the phone from Maryland. Rob, how are you?
I'm great, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you for calling.
Good. No problem. Thanks for having me call. I just want to make a comment and give a shout out to the gentleman, Paul.
Yes.
He was spot on.
Yes.
He said, look beyond Democratic sometimes. At times. I think that they use the just Democratic situation now as a camouflage for the mess that they have put us in. I'm not agreeing to Republican necessarily, but we have just been so comfortable and ingrained, you know, in our minds. It's been, you know, to just hit the button, like he said, for Democrat, Democrat, Democrat.
Right.
But so he made a great point there. And then the only thing I want to disagree with him with is, as far as Brandon Scott, I don't know the brother personally, but I've been observing him. I've been at a few outdoor festivals that he, you know, has given. So he, it seems like he wants to do things for the black people. I mean, he was on the front line with the whole Freddie Gray thing, as was everybody else.
Right.
But he was, it wasn't just for the cameras with this guy, because this guy does things, from what I can see, when the cameras are not even on him. So
you would think Brandon Scott more so than Mayor Young coming back for a second term?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And also, yeah, to have a young, fresh mind in the mix, you know, that brother seems to have his head on his shoulder 100%. And I just think it'll be great to have a millennial, so to speak, in office so he can relate, because he can relate more to the plight of the millennials.
Okay.
Today.
Okay, maybe that's the direction we need to go in. Get someone younger, and I'm just throwing that out there, folks. We are not endorsing any candidate, but I hear you, Rob.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, I appreciate you. We have Fred on the phone from East Baltimore. Hey, Fred, how are you?
Dr. K, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Dr. K, you know there are red dog Republicans.
I know.
And blue dog Democrats.
Yes, there are.
So if you want to become a Republican, please become a Republican, Frederick Douglass Republican, because he was the first that I can think about, brother, or something that spoke up for the black, the black movement, the black on a national scale. Yeah. It was Frederick Douglass.
And the ways in which we can mobilize and make some real changes?
And for that reason alone, I'm a Republican.
Okay.
I'm a dad in the war. And just think about it. He's from Baltimore. I can't imagine a brother from Baltimore not being a Frederick Douglass Republican. I just can't
imagine.
Thing
is, but you know what? So here's the thing.
So I
hear you talking about the Frederick Douglass Republicans. I do. But the Republican Party is not the party of Frederick Douglass anymore.
Well, think about this. The Democratic Party is not the party of black people either.
It's not the party of Dr. King anymore. No, it's not.
Look around.
So what do we do?
Look, Dr. K, think about this. We had an opportunity to pick a black United States Senator from Maryland with Michael Steele. With the black community in Maryland had the opportunity to put him in that seat, which would have given us a better bargaining chip. We have a Republican representation put in by the black caucus. Follow me?
I follow
it would have given us a hell of a bargaining chip. But we allowed Barack Obama to come down here and tell black people, don't vote for this boy to be going to the United States Senate, because he's a Republican. Now, here he comes to a state where Frederick Douglass come from, where Thurgood Marshall was born in Baltimore City. He come here, didn't even mention the man's name, Obama. But yet he come here and told, that's a fact. He come to Baltimore, still ran for the black people downtown, never mentioned Thurgood Marshall's name. And he's a United States, isn't he a constitutional lawyer himself?
Yes, he is. A constitutional professor
Who's the greatest challenger of the Constitution and putting it on the table, whatever lawyer in the history of the court?
You got to put Thurgood Marshall up there, Fred. Thank you so much. I appreciate you, folks. We need to look and hold people accountable. Maybe Fred has a thing. Should we become Frederick Douglass Republicans? Well, the Republican Party is not the party of Frederick Douglass. Not anymore. So the Democratic Party is our party, or is that the party that's not the party of King anymore? Maybe it's time for us to think about our own party. I'm just saying. I mean, has anyone thought about an independent party? I mean, Baltimore would be a great test place to do that. We have Donna on the phone, new call from Baltimore. Donna, how are you? And welcome to
Hi.
The family.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. So glad you called.
Great. Well, what I like to say, I think they just need to go through the city and they just need to clean house. And people need to vote in new people with new thinking and new ideas. And until that happens, not much is going to change, because you have people that have been representatives for what, most of my life, 30, 40 years, and change is not going to come. And I believe that they should only be allowed to serve X amount of terms, and then they should be pushed out.
I like that.
Because
like
when you stay in a place too long, you know what I mean?
You
can pigeonhole. You can pigeonhole how people think, new ideas, and other things going on. And I like to say that when people say, well, what are they going to do for the black people? Well, first of all, when whoever's elected is not just a black person's mayor,
right,
a black person's
right.
government. And I hate to say this, but sometimes the percentage of us that are not propelling forward in life, to refuse to pick up a book or refuse to open a newspaper or refuse to get on Google and look at something good, but yet they want to look at nonsense. Because I will say this about Obama. He did put a lot of job training in place when we had the mass layoffs and the recession. And unemployment, workforce unemployment, held the money for it. And they, you know, invited the people in that were laid off and let them know about the program.
Right.
And even when they left, even when he left office, he had so much money left over. And he had money for people to go to trade schools such as, you know,
like
CDL, for electricians. And all you had to do was go sign up. You got yourself what they call the counselor, and you just had to write an essay to your counselor as to why it would help your future. It was really simple. It was really broad. But unfortunately, as I hate to say, some of us, we sleep on everything. And it only takes a little effort.
Oh, you know, it's going to frustrate me, Donna. Come on.
To get out and to read. But yet you can stay in the nail salon and the hair salon. And then you want to cry. What are you doing for me? Well, what are you going to do for yourself? You know, if you will knock, maybe somebody doesn't answer the first time. Maybe they don't answer the second
time.
You
keep knocking, right, Donna? You keep banging.
You will meet somebody that will help you out and pick you up and take you on the road.
All right, I'm going to stop you there, Donna. I appreciate you. We have Jaleel on the phone from Washington, D.C. Jaleel, how are you?
Hey, Habari Ghani. Greetings. Yeah.
Habari Ghani.
Look, I don't think a young man's got is a good choice for a couple of number of things. He's working within the confines of the construct, just like these other city council people have done when they came on board.
Mm.
Two, if people want to have social change, I mean economic and political change, you're actually going to have your accountability and your structure. The lady called in and talked about Jews for Justice. But where are black people calling in, organizing their committees, their organizations, and talking about the justice for Baltimore City or whatever it may be? The key is organization. The Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey has told us the number one problem facing the Negro in 1920 is a lack of organization. Our political will, our political issues will not be, given to us on a platter just because you're a resident of the city and you vote. We got to be actively organized. Those council people, starting with Young, the caller called in and once said, we got to take an agenda to them. That's key. That's critically
important.
Yeah,
no, I definitely
agree
with
that. Take an agenda to them because they got an agenda. And the question is their agenda our agenda? And if it's not, how do we improve it or make our demands clear so that way that they are there? But nothing also will take the place of experience as well.
All right, I got to stop you there. I'm so sorry, Jaleel. Thank you so much. Folks, I want to throw something on the table. There are organizations like Leaders of a Beautiful Struggle, the Baltimore Algebra Project. These two things just immediately come to mind. I think about people like Kim Trujar. I think, you know, about people like Dee Watkins. There are people, Kondwani Fidel, people who are doing the work. Let's not think for any stretch of the imagination that they're not black folks in Baltimore City right now organized within the black community. That's one thing we don't have a lack of. We have a lot of organizations doing a lot of hard work. Find the organization that's in line with what you want to have happen, and why don't you join them? Maybe not start a new organization. Join one already in motion. That is how we rise, not by competing, but by coming together. Do you have time for one more call, Justina? One more, and it's Simon from Baltimore. Simon, how are you?
Hi, Dr. K.
Hey.
I just love what you just got finished saying. The thing I wanted to say was that, one, I'm not in agreement with term limits. And the reason I'm not in agreement with term limits, at one point I was. But then I saw that governors stopped thinking and planning long term. And that's part of the reason why we're in the mess we're in today. Because we put people in office and they know that they got term limits, so they're not concerned about what happens 20 years from now.
All right.
They're only concerned about pleasing people for the next election.
Okay, I got to stop you there, Simon. I appreciate you. Folks, we have to stop it here. I'm not concerned about what happens next. I'm concerned about what's happening in this moment because I got to end the show. This has been Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. Thank you again for all of your kind words of condolences on the loss of my father-in-law. I do appreciate you. I enjoy talking to you. I see it as both an honor and a privilege. Remember, make an appointment it. Meet me back here tomorrow at 3 p.m. Let's do it all over again. And let's take what Angela Davis said to heart. I'm no longer accepting the things I cannot change. I am changing the things I cannot accept. That's my word for today. What's yours? Give me a call tomorrow. Let's talk about it.